So, sorry.
Are you recording now?
Could you? Yes, I am.
Absolutely.
I would make a motion to adopt the minutes. I'm really sorry.
So call the meeting of the September 10th, 2020 Municipal Services Committee together. And could I have a motion to adopt the minutes for the June 16th, 2020 meeting?
John Alcesser makes that motion.
Thank you, John. Is there a second?
Mike Rosen, second.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any revisions, suggested revisions or changes? Alrighty, not hearing none. All those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Mark Walter just joined.
All right. Is there any opposed to the minutes?
I'll abstain. This is Melissa. I wasn't there.
Yeah, and Jim Hayden will abstain also.
All righty. Great.
All right.
So second item on the agenda is public comment. Is there anyone from the public that would like to make comments at this time? And Pauline, is that someone needs to raise their hand, or how do we do that with this function?
There is actually no one from the public present, so I think we're in
great
shape.
Thank you. No public comment. And Pauline, I'm going to hand this next section over to you, but not only are there going to be some updates from staff, but certainly want to have some questions. Some of these will involve some discussion as well, but we really want to take this meeting today to get kind of back in the swing of things, since we've all been, distracted, for lack of a better term, with the COVID and power losses and all that stuff. We wanted to use this as to get people back up to date, as well as look forward into later into the fall. So with that, Pauline, you want to start off with 3A?
Sure. So I'm hoping this is in the right order in my PowerPoint. There's Lyle. So first, starting off with electronic document management, this has been a long haul. We had a lot of changes over the years in terms of the different people who are managing this grant, particular grant. But we are in program mode with the HR personnel files, and we are ready to go in October 1 with opening it up to other towns. So right now there are three modules or three areas where we have keywords and document indexes already identified. So that's agenda management, land use documents, which would include GIS integration and integration with Municity and Viewpoint, and HR personnel files. This OnBase is a very robust platform, and we're pretty excited about this because it's really a shared service. So the licensing is shared across the towns, which is slightly different from a lot of our programs that are more cooperative purchasing programs, especially in the IT arena. So the licensing is shared across towns. So if it's their concurrent licenses, so if Windsor has 20 people on it at one point in time, it takes from the existing concurrent licenses that we have, and we plan to balance those loads as the usage increases. And so that's one area. We're very excited about it. I'll leave it at that. And then the other way that we're using electronic document management is that we're using it as, the other way that we're using electronic document management is on our Nutmeg HR .org for the sample. Sorry, I'm getting for sample HR documents, it's where we have it uploaded into the server, and people access this from the web. It's a pretty neat function if you haven't seen it yet. And once again, call for if you have any HR documents that you would like to share, please send them to Kim and we will put them up there as well. You know, and that includes, we have up there handbooks, checklists, various policies, cell phone use policy. You know, so a lot of them have to do with ones that we currently don't have model documents for, or checklists, you know, outgoing checklists, incoming checklists, things like that. So it's pretty useful. So that's electronic document management. I'm happy to take any questions on that.
Yeah, so since I'm not a pilot community, there's going to be a rollout of this that explains or has a demonstration of it all. And and then the how you sign up and what the cost consequences are.
Yeah, so the cost consequences, I'll share the costs. There's an initial licensing, initial costs, and then ongoing maintenance costs, and it's determined by the size of the municipality. So right now, the only number that I can remember is that Norwalk is paying $16,000 a year for their ongoing costs, for their maintenance costs. And so that gives you a sort of a benchmark in terms of where the cost would be going further down. And I think the initial sign-up costs is a little bit more. But that gives a good idea in terms of where that is.
Okay.
So and we'll be happy to do a demo October 1. Let's schedule it for October 1 or sometime after.
Yeah, I just think it's important as we head towards next year's budgeting.
Yep.
That because I think a lot of people will try to sell it over the winter months.
Yep.
For maybe a July 1 theoretical startup date, at least.
Yep.
Or start paying date.
Start paying date. Yeah, absolutely. So that's definitely. So that's part of our. Yep. We're definitely interested in that.
Okay.
Great. Anybody have any other questions or thoughts regarding document management for Pauline?
Okay.
Great. I really like the idea, John, of maybe in that October timeframe to be able to have some kind of demo that different municipalities can join in and learn about it, so we can, as you said, start doing our homework prior to the first quarter of the new calendar year.
Right.
Do you want us to take 10-15 minutes at Municipal Services to do that, or do you want us to schedule something separate?
My thought would be, this is just off the top of my head, as something separate.
Okay.
That way there we can bring in our IT,
yep,
IT folks and whoever, clerks and stuff like that.
Sounds good. Salary survey is going to be Kim. Before you go, there's an 860 number that joined the call.
Yeah, 276-6241.
Yeah. Could you identify yourself? It's *6 to unmute. Or not. Okay, Kim, go ahead.
Hello. Hey. I'm sorry. It's David Norris with the town of Southington. I was just unmuting my phone.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Kim.
Okay. 2021 salary survey. I think most all of you are familiar with this. It goes out every year. We are planning to get it out to our municipalities early October. I've been in touch with CCM in terms of the typical annual format. If anybody has any suggestions in terms of, you know, adding positions to it or any questions about it, if you could get those to me by Thursday, next Thursday, the 17th, and then I can, again, get in touch with CCM and we can work on revisions if possible. A couple reminders. CCM's been getting requests from towns in terms of who is able to participate, who can access the salary survey, and that is essentially at the discretion of the municipal leader, the town administrator, the, you know, mayor, whatever. And of course, it usually is the executive assistants or admin assistants or HR folks that do complete those surveys. So if you guys have any questions, let me know either now or send me an email and I'll see what I can do to work with CCM to improve it. And that's it.
Okay, so for the electricity consortium, some quick updates. We held recruitment over the summer through outreach on our listservs and personal outreach. We currently have about 10 signed up members for the next auction. We have also some multiple towns, some of which are not participating in the procurement, but they're interested in some of the other energy services like bill auditing and energy dashboards and other management services, which you don't have to do along with the procurement. You can do those separately and at any time. So for next steps with the consortium, we're going to be holding an auction fairly soon, probably in October. And then, you know, if there's anybody after that that's, you know, interested in learning what the pricing was after the auction, then, you know, just let me know. You can contact me and I'll be able to get that information to you. And then, again, with some of the other services that aren't related to the actual procurement itself, those can be picked up anytime. So if your town was interested in, you know, energy tracking, energy budget assistance, and those are available at any time. You can sign up for that. You just get in contact with us.
Very good. Thanks, Jessica. Anybody have any questions relative to the electricity consortium and energy?
Peter, I do. We have some very significant solar and a microgrid project where I'm afraid of committing to an auction and locking in prices because I may not, my amount that I use is not going to be predictable. Now the CCM bid has a waiver if you transfer things to solar that it doesn't penalize you. You don't have to buy the amount that you thought it's automatically subtracted. I just didn't know whether your bid has that.
I think that's something we definitely have had green energy requirements in some of our past auctions, but that's something, John, that I can bring up with our current energy consultant and ask them about and get back to you if you want me to check on that for you.
Because I instead of entering into a typical 3-year thing, I did only go through January coming up because I thought the microgrid project was going to be further along, but little did I know that PURA is a 9-month process.
Okay. yeah, I can absolutely check on that for you. I'll email you separately after.
All right, thank you.
With our consultant.
Great. Very good. If there's no other questions on this, we'll move on to solid waste. Favorite topic.
Yeah, I'll be brief here since you all know what's going on, I think. September 8th, many of you were on the call for the kickoff meeting for CCSMM. It was very well attended. I believe there was over 180 folks that were on that call. And essentially, I don't have much to report from that you don't already know. So moving on to CSWA, we'll be holding our meeting in October or November to set our budget. And then, as you know, Municipal Services has in our 2021 work plan the following RFPs for textile recycling, curbside textile recycling, and curbside food waste. So if anyone is interested in participating in those, please let me know.
Thanks, Kim. Anybody have questions about either the CSWA or the potential RFPs for 2021? Kim, I do have a question about the textile or comment.
Sure.
Right now, there are, I know Windsor, I'll use Windsor as an example. We have textile recycling that's provided at no cost at our transfer station. And so I'm kind of curious from a staff's perspective, what you expect to get out of this RFP regarding textile recycling. And as a follow-up, there is already at least one company that provides those pink collection bags for textiles. And so I'm just looking at it more from a staff resource perspective. Is it worth to go through the effort of RFP when some of those services are already available at no cost to municipalities?
That's a good question. I'm going to ask Pauline to chime in on that one.
So we'll take that because there are some textile recyclers that actually give a credit for the textile recycling back to the town. So there's money involved, but it's money going the opposite direction. So it is a competitive environment. For the curbside textile recycling, to be honest, the pink bags are the only people we know who are doing it. However, there were a few CSWA towns who just wanted to see if there was any competition out there, if there was anything out there with regards to that. And some towns do require a procurement, even if it doesn't cost them anything in terms of because of the fact that there could, if there are credits to be offered or something like that. So there are some towns that require that a competitive process.
Okay.
Because money, although money isn't exchanged, there is goods that the vendor is getting some benefit.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions relative to solid waste? All righty.
I guess this is me. So, a lot of our staff time has gone into some of the things that the state has asked us to do with regards to COVID recovery planning, especially long-term recovery planning, economic development recovery planning. And just as background information, we normally would have used regional services grant as the way to pay the staff, but we were told by OPM not to use regional services grant, but instead to apply for a CARES grant that's administered by OPM. It's been an interesting process. Let me just put it that way. There's a couple of things that we are doing. We are putting in for an EDA grant for COVID-19 recovery. And we are also administering the phase one planning grant. That's a statewide effort for resiliency and economic recovery from COVID-19. So that's sort of those are two things that we're doing. Both of those are statewide grants, working with all the Demis regions, and CROG was picked as the administrator because the COGs don't trust the state, and so we're the honest broker in this, I guess, somehow. and then it's phase one is in progress. OPM we were able to get the CARES grant for that planning effort, and we're administering that with a little bit of admin money for us, not a lot. And then phase two is we're hoping to get the EDA grant that would be a 2-year grant starting January 1. And then on other efforts, we did a request for qualifications for PPE vendors. And that is entering into pilot stage. So the pricing was generally competitive, and that would be open to any of our municipalities, but also open to the public and the state as well.
Peter, if I could add a tidbit to that. Assuming we get the $8 million of EDA money, we'll come back and talk to you about the steering committee governance structure, both at a state and regional level. That's not included in the grant. So we need to weave together the EDA submissions, both at the state and regional levels, with the long-term recovery committees of COVID-19. So we have a little kind of governance weaving together of pieces to do, and we'll certainly brief you on that and see what kind of input you have. So we'll see. And again, it's a 20 to 22 for both of these grants. So one is 2020, the other one is 21-22. So this is going to be a long-term process. And I think setting up a steering committee at the state level and then the regional level and making sure this fits with the long-term COVID recovery, I think is going to be a task. We might know in 45 or 60 days whether we get the EDA money. We're hopeful because it's a single state grant. I just want to let you know that the governance structure will be something we come back to.
Wow, thanks for that that addition. I've got a question regarding, it's a statewide application. Has EDA allocated certain amount of money to the whole region that's competitive, or have they allocated money to each state and we just need to make sure that the application meets the scope of work or its deliveries?
It's about $270 million for the Northeast. Okay. Our fair share would be 11, so we're coming in at 8. We came in at 10.5 and they told us to cut it. So that's the first point. So it's around $270 million for the entire Northeast region. The other piece is it's a rolling disbursement. So, you know, the longer we wait, the more risk we have of not getting any money. So it's in. GRI, one of our co-applicants, I think has a bit of paperwork to do, but the one that Krog was dealing with, that Tim and Pauline helped on, has been submitted to EDA. So it's about $270 million. Our fair share would be 11. We're asking for 8. The upshot or the plus here is it's a statewide governor endorsed single application. You know, rather than doing what we did with the Amazon HQ2 with half a dozen competing bits and pieces, this is a single-wide organized integrated grant. That's not to say that there may not be some unhappy campers in the entire process. There are a lot of players there, but that's sort of where it is. So our fair share would be about 11. We're asking for 8.
Great. And is the I'm trying to get a feel for what some of the proposed deliverables are, or just a high level. So we're all kind of on the same page.
There's two applicants. There's the state application, and then there's the Global Resilience group out of Boston Northeastern University, which is an assessment and capacity building grant for the communities in the region. And it's a methodology related to disaster recovery, but it'll be have a lot of focus on equity to make sure that those most impacted by the COVID emergency are included in the being listened to and as well as dealt with. So helped, I should say. So part one is this GRI grant. Part two includes the regional chambers of commerce, the councils of governments, and some other partners. And that will be on partly economic development strategy implementation and a variety of other aspects that we can certainly share. Workforce, economic development, and so forth. But that's sort of what it is. It's pivoting away from a public health focus, which is obviously very paramount right now. It'll be into a sort of economic development slash workforce component. You know, we lost 140,000 jobs in the hospitality industry, and most of those have not gone back to work. So the upshot is there's going to be more workforce and economic development on this. And we can share this, Pauline. Why don't you share the entire ball of wax with the, unless it's too big a ball of wax, with the Municipal Services Committee, just the overall summary and the spreadsheet on allocations of funds, and give folks a sense of that. But it just went in the day before yesterday. So it's, we haven't, as I say, gotten around to getting it out to folks.
Well, that would be great. Sounds like a great opportunity to, and a fair amount of resources. Even though it's on a statewide basis, that's a good amount of money.
Yeah, but the other piece I think is going to be important on this is, and that's why I mentioned the comment on governance at the state level, steering committee, and regional, is sort of weaving all the pieces together. So, you know, one big theme here is going to be helping small business recovery. So, you know, Advanced CT has a piece of this with what's called business recovery centers. You know, we have a piece in our SEDS. So part of this, I think, is going to be aligning all the bits and pieces. So that's going to be the task of sort of getting folks together to streamline this and make sure we're not stepping on each other. But it, I think it's very good for the Municipal Services Committee to be well aware of what's going on here. And then to have our regional COVID response group on top of it, as well as a statewide steering committee. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of filling in of the blanks on this, but it's going to be a pivot toward workforce and economic development. I think is going to be a big theme of what this does.
Great, great. Anybody have any questions for either Pauline or Lyle on the recovery grant?
And I want to thank Pauline and Jessica for getting the PPE thing done quickly. Once again, CROG was asked to do something for the state, which we did quickly and on time for no money, right? So we're really good at that. I want to thank both Pauline and Jessica for a yo person's work in getting that together. And I think it's a, unfortunately, we're going to probably need this for a while. This is not a short-term task, but I want to thank them for getting this done in quick order.
Great. Jessica carried most of the weight on this. I just told her what to do and she did it. So I wasn't, but I have to say that one of the things is that we're it's in pilot now. We're notifying the vendors and we're testing it out to make sure that the vendors actually perform as that they said they would. We had the contract period go up to December of 2021. Someone actually questioned whether it was going to be needed until December 2021, but I'm sort of glad that we did it that way because this could be the new normal. I mean, we could be doing this every year or every other year. And the other good thing is that DECD will be monitoring and logging issues with vendors. So that won't be on us in terms of the staff time. And so if there are bad actors among our RFQ vendors, hopefully they won't be. We at least have a layer of protection with regards to having to deal with those issues directly.
Yeah, think of road salt. This is, you know, back to Maureen Goulet.
Don't jinx us this year, Lyle.
I don't know how many calls did we get on road salt supplies several years back. So the fact that DECD is going to be managing unhappy campers is a huge plus. So,
So Pauline, I think you said earlier, and I may have misheard you. You said that this is open to the public, or did I?
So yes, it's a request for qualification. So it was specifically for our members, of course, and as well as small businesses within Connecticut. That was the target because the thought being having some, it's a qualification process. It's not a bid, that's not a contract. So we're not contracting with any of the vendors. We're qualifying them, much like the way we've done the RFQs for the Crumbling Foundation's contractors. We deem these vendors as being qualified as to be able to provide for these products. There were some criteria that we set, including businesses that had been in business more than 2 years. There were actually quite a few that came into business March 2020, surprise, surprise, as well as having end-to-end website capabilities for people to order online. Those were actually ones that, and also we looked at if you can buy it on Amazon for more expensive, for the same price, then we're not interested. Because the thought being, the state really was looking for help for the small businesses who are hurting, frankly, in terms of being able to procure this.
The impetus, Peter, was unreliable quality pricing and vendor performance. So that's what the purpose was. This started out, you know, several months ago when we were sort of at the level with PPE of, you know, I know a guy, and people were picking things up in, you know, warehouses at night. So this is actually a way of getting the market stabilized, organized, and in a much better price position. So I think it's going to be successful.
Just if this is going to be shared with somebody else, hand sanitizer is spelled wrong.
Yes, it is. There's a Z missing.
Now, kids call it hanitizer.
Hanitizer, well, that's good.
All righty. So any other questions here? And so from anybody, the one just clarifying question, where will the information be provided? Obviously, I'm assuming the state will provide information on these qualified vendors out through Homeland or Emergency Preparedness?
Yes, it's going to be on the DCD website someplace, but we would share it with our municipalities, of course, our members as well. Okay. So it would be it's the DCD has it's going to be on their their COVID-19 response page.
Okay, great. I guess the best thing is you folks all of CROG's role is done.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Knock on something.
All righty. Want to move on to job order contracting?
Sure, I'll just make this quick. We held a recent webinar that kind of went over this. So if anybody's interested in that webinar recording, just contact me. I'm happy to send it out to you. But for the job order contracting and COVID-19 and CARES Act response, the CARES Act, as you probably know, has a pretty short timeline between March and December, where it needs to, the work needs to be carried out and paid out. So the Easy IQC program and job order contracting is a good choice for those kinds of projects because they tend to be small to medium, and it can need to happen quickly. So it will, kind of help move that process along as quickly as possible. Some examples of some COVID-19 response work is, installation of no-touch technologies in bathrooms, public spaces, elevator retrofits, kitchen and lighting retrofits, changing out your HVAC, partition installations, and changing your spaces around, changing your desks around, changing out of surfaces. We also have a few more examples on our Easy IQC page on the CROG website. But these are all, sort of good choices for jobs that need to happen quickly and be paid out quickly, but also have a competitive bid process. So this is all competitively pre-bid and it saves time on that process. So if you're interested, or if you have projects that kind of fit that bill for CARES Act response or COVID response, get in touch with us and we're happy to help you out.
Great, thanks, Jessica. Anybody have any questions? Or has anybody been able to access and use this job order contracting for these purposes? And what your experience has been?
Peter, John, we were trying to work with Department of Housing to do a community development block grants, CARES Act money, because they have a boatload of money they can't get rid of. And asked if we could use this, and they weren't sure. The CDBG program. We gave up, frankly, because we had to go through a full environmental impact statement and change our work plan, and it was going to be $10,000 worth of background work for a $50,000 grant. So we kind of said that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
but that's the federal government for you. This is exciting, and we are looking at actually trying to get the use of program income money to do that, but we'd still need to have the Department of Housing accept Easy IQC as a approved vendor.
Vendor, yeah. Yeah.
John, if you need us to, we've done this before with some other grants where we've kind of written up our competitive bid process, because that's usually where they get stuck, is they want to know how it was bid out and that it was appropriately publicly bid. So if you need backup on that, just get in contact with me.
Thank you, Jessica. I've forwarded the information. Our program consultant is very interested because it obviously saves them a lot of work.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
A lot of it depends on whether they accept an indefinite quantity contract as opposed to specifically having to bid each individual project. I know that's sometimes a hang up on the on the DOT side. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, for these jobs, the only way to do that then would be to hire an architect to do a whole plan. And then, you know, December's gone already.
Right.
Okay. All right. Any anybody else have any questions regarding the job order contracting as it relates to CARES? All righty. We've already covered a good amount of territory. Pauline, in terms of the specific status reports,
There are some things that I think we want to highlight. Jessica, if you want to highlight anything on this page.
Just very quickly, we're moving back into, you know, bid season. So, you know, people keep an eye out for the communications about bid needs. But the first set's going out next week, and that's for asphalt, pavement, crack sealing, and ladder testing services. We also in response to some feedback about accessing bid information, have revamped the bid website to make it a little bit easier for people. And we've held some webinars and hope to hold some more in the future, for some information sharing purposes. The last thing is that we were going to have an annual meeting for the CRPC in October, and that has, you know, for obvious reasons, been postponed.
25.
Ready?
Okay, IT services. Just a friendly reminder of all the IT stuff that we have to offer. If anyone is interested in any of these, feel free to reach out to me and I will get you in contact with the right rep over at any of these said businesses. OpenGov and Municity for the online permitting. I know we just had, I think, Simsbury sign on with Municity, and they have nothing but great things to say about them, so that's good to hear. NovaTime, time and attendance software. We've also had several towns inquire about that. And then Pauline, if you wanna just click to the next slide, I'll just do the HR stuff real quick too, since it kind of falls in line. And then the HR consulting services is a fairly new one that we have to offer, which as you can see, from payroll, the benefit management, workplace investigations, they offer a lot as well. So if you have any interest in that, please let me know. And the HR portal Pauline touched on earlier. So I encourage you to sign up and use that, as there is a lot of great info on there. And the interview panel directory is also very useful. So any questions, just let me know.
Great. Any questions at this point for Kim regarding the IT services?
Okay.
Ready.
Crumbling foundations, there isn't really much to add. We're trucking along on that. I will say that the testing program contract with DOH expires this December. I've been told that it will be extended, but have not seen any movement with regards to that. I was told it takes about 3 months to get through the AG's office, so I'm bugging DOH on a regular basis at this point in time, because 3 months is going to pass by very quickly, and we'll be looking at December 31st when we're signing the extension. Welcome to the state of Connecticut. Okay, and I'll let Eric talk about, what happened to Grace? She disappeared and came back. I'll let Eric talk about cybersecurity.
Okay, our Demis Region 3 Cybersecurity Task Force met virtually on August 13th. One of the highlights of that was we had Lieutenant Colonel Sprague and Major Miller from the Connecticut National Guard. They talked about their cybersecurity capabilities, which are quite significant. Bill Perkins and I from our office have gone to several different events at the Armory, and the National Guard capabilities have been showcased over there. They have a very sophisticated cyber response group, and they were good enough to present at our meeting last month. Other things that have been happening are myself and Ken Sayers, the IT director for East Hartford. He's the chair of the task force. We've met with the other regional chairs to coordinate communications with the state cybersecurity committee. We discovered right away by I've been attending the state cybersecurity committee meetings, and I immediately saw a whole lot of duplicative efforts going on. So one of our tasks is to kind of prevent that from happening and kind of work together and not do each other's work over and over again, and also to develop kind of a common framework and goals for all the regions. From these phone calls we've been having, it seems that the other regions are maybe not as far along, but have the same basic goals in mind, and we're headed in the same direction already, so that's helpful. I just wanted to mention that municipal election security has been a common topic since I've been working with this group, and it's going to be showcased, I think, in our next meeting in October, which is on the 8th. I think those are pretty much the high points. If anyone had any questions.
All righty, good. Sounds like good resources that are there. Clearly, let's hope we're not in the Hartford situation that they ran into in the last 48 hours. That's
somebody clicked on something. That's what happened there. Somebody clicked on one of those. That's one of those big. Yep. We're doing for our staff. We're doing training on actually, I won't say how often the training is, since we have staff members here who so and they get email messages that look like that it should be identified as spam, but sometimes some people have we've had one or two people fall for it, and so
our people have been pretty good, I gotta say.
Generally good.
We've been doing that for the last 2 years here, and both training sessions and then the testing. And so it's definitely worthwhile. It's worth the few thousand bucks a year to do it. So
agreed.
And I'm sure that the Hartford incident will be, we generally have a round table at these task force meetings where people just go around and discuss what happened the last 2 months in their town. So I'm sure that'll be, although I don't believe there's anyone from Hartford on there, I'm sure we'll be talking about it.
Well, I don't always believe what you hear in media, but it sounds like they did call in the National Guard cyber unit to help them.
Right.
So that was so great. Thank you very much, Eric. Anybody else have any questions for Eric?
I'm going to put Eric on the spot to talk a little bit about some of the statewide GIS efforts. I know I didn't.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've been working with a couple of legislators, Representative McCarthy Vey from Fairfield, and also Senator Needleman, I believe, from Old Saybrook, as well as one of the GIS gurus at UConn, Emily Wilson, and John Guskowski, who actually used to be on our staff here at CROG. He's now the town planner for, I think, five towns or something like that. It's kind of a group that was put together to promote some kind of statewide GIS coordination. In my 20 years in the field, this is probably the fourth or fifth such effort. I feel a little more confident this time because there's actual legislators involved in the process right at the beginning. So we'll see what happens. I guess it's just trying to get us up to speed with, you know, Massachusetts probably has the flagship state GIS system as far as New England goes. And, you know, most of us in the field feel like there's no reason for us not to have something similar. And again, duplication of effort is a big issue with that. State agencies doing the same thing, towns doing the same thing, et cetera, and so on. Either with that or the cybersecurity, if anybody has any more detailed questions, feel free to contact me directly.
Just one suggestion. I mean, Peter mentioned that they pay a couple $1,000 a year for a firm to come in and do actual testing. I know South Windsor does a similar thing. Is that something we should look at having a regional bid on?
We do.
Okay.
Through Novus, we have a cybersecurity. There's training is one piece of it. And then we also have assessment and remediation as a second piece of it. And they also offer other services as well. But okay. Yeah, we do. We have that. If you're interested, contact Kim.
Thank you.
Oh, and I just said, Peter, I'm finding that with our exercise, with the training and the testing, is that I feel like we're a little light on the training and a little heavy on the testing at this point. Maybe sometime offline we could discuss how it is that your training resources, I guess I'd be curious.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think we are still using the contractor through Novus, if my recollection right. serves mm-hmm. me. So yeah, feel free to give me a holler.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. So any other status reports, Pauline, we good on that? Great. So next item is municipal information sharing. I do know that I think Jessica sent out the agenda. She included a flyer on the this year's UConn Public Service Executive Leadership Training. And so those look like a pretty good lineup coming down the road in terms of those sessions. Does anybody else have anything that they'd like to share or any questions? Any other? So one question that I have, and I see a lot of communities have signed on, it's the Connecticut Coalition for Sustainable Materials Management. And I guess maybe my head's been in the sand a little bit on this topic. I just kind of get a little sense of those folks that are participating in that coalition. Where is that now? And is there action to hopefully
they
plan
they just
for
kicked,
legislative?
They just kicked off and had a presentation this week on it. And they've now set up 4 task force that they're looking for people to do it. But basically, I think there's so many people involved that I heard the number 183 earlier, that a lot of people are on there for defense. The state is heading down the path to require mandated food waste separation and all sorts of other things as the burn plants close. So I think towns are getting involved because they're gravely concerned on what's going to be thrust upon us.
Got it.
I would agree with that comment. And also the part that concerns me is, first of all, I thought it was a well done meeting. I thought it some good ideas, some good feedback. But they're looking for ideas to bubble up. Well, that's, that is a good strategy sometimes to get the ideas from the users all the way up. But in this particular case, it shows a lack of leadership at the state and the deep level of helping to solve the problem. And if they think we're going to be able to solve the problem by taking a little of this out of the stream, a little garbage out of the stream, do a better job with glass collection, those sorts of things, those all add to it. And certainly we'll take things out of the waste stream. But in the end, it's not a comprehensive strategy for waste management for the state of Connecticut. And right now, we don't have one.
And their goal is no state dollars to be put in.
And they want us to start pay for throw. And, if they want pay for throw, then they need to mandate it.
And put some dollars behind it.
Yes, sir.
But all right, that's kind of what I was thinking. But I just got a couple of residents who have been inquiring why we haven't signed on, and so thank you for that. I'll try to see if that meeting. I assume that meeting may have been recorded, or there may be in a slide deck that might.
Yeah, there's a slide deck. I'm sure it's probably up on DEP's site already.
Yeah, I can send that to you, Peter, if you want.
That would be fabulous, Kim. Yeah. Thank you.
It was a productive, cordial start.
It was. And
the real issue now is getting people who are willing to work on those subcommittees to actually come up with realistic solutions.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Great. I assume that you folks that have joined just did it administratively, or did you have to go to your boards for approval?
I just put my name in.
I'm just reluctant to put my name in anything anymore.
So am I. I figured this one is, again, my attitude, my biases are its protection.
Exactly. I don't know. I'd reopen our landfill if I wouldn't be hung. But all righty. Do we have any other items under municipal information sharing?
Just one concern for small cities. Sometime about April 3rd, we put in a community development block grant. They're usually awarded in July. Lately, it's been August. It's now September.
Yeah.
And they never then move the deadlines. You know, so some month now, it may be awarded. And then the original time frame still kicks in. So I've got kind of grave concerns on that. And the state is also monitored by HUD for their effectiveness. And if they take 9 months to award a grant, they can't spend the money within their 2-year program time. So I don't know what the hell's going on with Department of Housing. But it's a general statement I'll have is that I think the state of Connecticut is falling apart with their workers not showing up to work.
I can speak to our experience with DOH right now is that with regards to the advocate, anytime that we've tried to talk with her, she says her focus is on emergency housing for people who are losing their houses as a result of COVID. That is her standard response. We have seen definitely a slowdown in the regular work that she does, and I think that's probably across the board, at least in that department.
But I mean, the Secretary of State's office has just dumped a bomb on all the town clerk's office. I mean, I know the town clerks all talk to each other on conference calls, but they're all asking to hire 3 people per town clerk's office to handle the absentee ballots. I mean, the state is like crumbling under lack of proper communication within their own organizations.
If I can give an editorial comment regarding the Secretary of State's office, how come the Secretary of State's office doesn't have a representative on the governor phone calls that they share with all the municipalities every other Wednesday? And here it is, you know, there's been 3 questions in the last 2 conference calls regarding the elections, and there's going to be a lot more because we're all going to be focused on it. And not to have a representative from the Secretary of State's office indicates that the lack of communication starts at the top. That's my editorial.
Well, they only talk to town clerks and registrars. I mean, never, there's no communication to the chief appointed or elected officials in the towns. I mean, it's simple. Now we're into information sharing. Maybe we should call it bitch session. But when they were sending out the boxes, here's your ballot box. I had 4 emails to them. Does this have to be ADA accessible? What does it need to be bolted down? Is there any requirements? Are there, you know, does it have to rebar? All these things. And ultimately, you know, we got to our public works department and said, oh, we'll just go to Jolly Concrete and buy a little slab and put it in the ground. Well, for God's sakes, every public works department and every town had to, you know, figure that out for themselves. Couldn't they just say, here's a recommendation, buy a precast slab and put it down, bolt it into it. We're giving you the bolts. But
we just did it, John.
Any information on it.
We just did it. So.
Yeah, same with us.
We just did it. But yes, I agree with the communication, and I can speak directly because my town clerk happens to be the president, current president of the Clerks Association. And I hear those comments daily about the communication and challenges it's been. So I'm not sure. Maybe we can. I'll take the lead and I'll communicate with the chief of staff at the governor's office, Mr. Mounds, and just make that suggestion and carry that forward.
I mean, ultimately, we need to know what's going on. And in some cases, our town clerks tell us, and in other cases, I'm sure they don't. But ultimately, we're responsible. We're the ones that get yelled at when things don't go well. So, you know, there ought to at least be courtesy copies of emails and stuff.
Yeah. So
it's unconscionable, in my opinion.
Well, the my editorial comment is that I'm fearful that there's so many other states that have done absentee ballot or mail-in ballots very well for a lot of years. And the way that, you know, this taste that's being left in potentially in our collective mouths is going to may set us back before we even get off down the right path of doing this in the future. So that's my ultimate concern, is that something that could be something very positive for our citizenry is, you know, this first experience is not a good, has a potential of not being good. So,
and some people are politicizing it, and we're stuck in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I will reach out to Paul Mounds and just make that suggestion, carry forward the concerns that if they could have the Secretary of State office representative on those calls, and as well as, you know, continuing to, or ask them to enhance the communication with, you know, the chief administrative officers or first selectmen.
Thank you, Peter.
Sounds good.
All right. Anything else?
Just one minor thing, Peter. Well, it's yes. Not so minor, but the you know, as the FEMA process continues, it's been extremely disappointing. We fought it for a while and we gave up because we knew it would be 2 or 3 years before it was resolved. But I mean, our small East Granby claim got reduced by 50% because of, you know, the phrase, it will be part of your ongoing operation, so therefore we're not going to pay for it. And that was plastic guards, that was PPEs, that was all sorts of stuff. So, you know, where we traditionally, you know, in the past, those of us have been around the table for a while, and there's a lot of us on the call that have been, you know, when 2011, 2012, certainly there was a great flow through of information from FEMA, but also the money came. And, you know, so we were under those parameters, or we thought, and then all of a sudden it's like the rules have been changed. And, you know, and I don't know if, you know, CRF is going to be able to pick up the difference. I doubt if they will, but I haven't got a final thing from, because I fought it for a while. I didn't get a final thing from FEMA yet. So I can't even go to the state yet.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, we've had some preliminary conversations as well with our FEMA rep, and we're kind of fighting those same battles.
Yeah.
With what's eligible and what isn't.
I mean, if you know, if I had to, in order to keep my employees safe, I had to put partitions up, then, you know, don't tell me that it's part of my ongoing operation. I needed to do it at the time to keep people safe. Even though it was closed to the public, we were open to each other and we needed to do those sorts of things. And you know, so, I mean, that's just a little example.
Yeah. And that's the same thing we're getting with some of our technology enhancements that we had to make. So they're the same response back is, well, that's an ongoing, and that's.
And I had to fight for attorney for the attorney, you got all these executive orders coming out. You have to get some legal advice. And, you know, I had to fight on that.
Yeah. So. All righty. Anybody have anything else that they'd like to share or any questions? All right. If not, I will call this meeting adjourned at 1:02. Next meeting. Go ahead, Pauline.
Oh, no. I was just going to say the next meeting's Tuesday, October 20th and December 8th. That's moved because of Thanksgiving and holidays. So just a note.
Great. Thank you very much for the reminders. I'll see if my calendar can get squared away eventually.
All right.
All righty, guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate participation.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.